Since absolute is beyond the limits of human considerations, it is then unknowable, apparently. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing and the University of Philosophy here in Campo, California, bringing you Absolute Philosopher. And the Absolute Philosopher's question tonight is, since absolute is beyond the limits of human considerations, it is then unknowable, apparently. So, let's ask a question that theologians have asked forever. They say that God is unknowable. Would you say that is true, that God is unknowable? Now, you have to be very careful. Would you say it's true that God is unknowable? Would you say that God is all? Would you say that God is everything, and that I am God, and that you are God, and that all is God? Would you say that that's true? If you'd say that's true, can you know yourself? Can you be aware of your aspects of your beingness, at least of your relative beingness? Can you be aware of the aspects of your God beingness, your absolute beingness? And that's an interesting concept, an interesting point of view. And that's why our question here, since absolute is beyond the limits of human consideration, it is then unknowable, apparently. Now, is absolute beyond the limits of human consideration? And we have to say it appears that way. It appears to be beyond the limits of human consideration, because it's just like the Jewish philosophy teaches, you cannot see God and live. You will die. Now, that is a bald-faced lie. It is absolutely untrue. I'm sure people are going to hate me for saying this, but it is untrue. It is untrue. It is untrue. Point in point. Adam and Eve were created by God, right? And Adam and Eve blew it, didn't they? And so they put on fig leaves and so forth like that so that they'd be clothed. And God says, where are you guys? And they were hiding in the bushes. And then they came out, and God says, what's this all about? You're acting kind of strange. And they admitted they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God says, boy, you guys sure blow it easy, you know. I gave you one commandment, one rule. Otherwise, you can do anything you please. This is paradise. This is the Garden of Eden. Everything is yours. Any food you want, anything. You just play around with each other. You just have a ball. I mean, you know, there's no limits. And you have to violate the one rule I put out. Now, is he invisible, God, to them? Is he standing right there in front of them, giving them the riot act? You bet he is. Did they see him?
Yeah.
Sure. Did they die?
No.
Eventually. But not then. They didn't die. Now, do the priests see God? And the answer is yes. In each other. They may see God in themselves, too. They may see God in the mirror. Every time you look in the mirror. Each time I look in the mirror, I see only God in me. So, this is the reality. Now, did Jesus say that if you see God, you'll die? No way. He said, go to the Father within, who seeth in secret, and he will reward you openly. And he said, where will you find God? Where does God live? Inside of each one of you. The allness of God lives inside of each one of us. So, essentially, the outpicturing that I am is God. So when I look in the mirror, that's God. When you look in the mirror, that's God. Now, wherein does God and absolute differ? They're the same thing, at least in our definition. God is the allness, the isness, the absolute, and the absolute is the allness, the isness, and God. So they're interchangeable. Now, can you know God? Can you know absolute? What would keep you from knowing absolute? The thought that you cannot know absolute. Mm-hmm. What keeps you from knowing anything? Do you have within you all the knowledge of the universe? Yeah, but you don't think you do. You do not act as though you do, so therefore you do not seem to demonstrate it, apparently. But you can. You can demonstrate the allness of God, the isness of God, and be the allness, the isness, and the everything of God if you wish. But if you don't wish it, you can pretend that you're sick and you're poor. You can pretend that you're limited. You can pretend that you're not successful. You can pretend that you got problems, 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 and then they're yours. Now, would a chess player go to a chess match with the idea that he's going to lose? Would he go to a chess match thinking that the other player is superior to him? Why play then, you know? Would he go to the match thinking that the other player has a lot of tricks that he hasn't learned? No. Would he go there thinking the other player has a right to win because he didn't win the last three times in a row, so he should certainly win now, you know, otherwise he'll stop playing, you know? And no, you win honorably when you're playing the game to win. When you are a professional chessman, there is no thing of encouraging someone to keep playing by letting them win, unless it's your children, you know. Mm-hmm. But if you're playing against adults and you're playing against professional chess people, you play to win. So, in our awareness of the Absolute, we play to win. We cannot lose. In our realm of Absolute, we cannot lose because we don't know how to lose. You understand? We don't know how to lose, therefore we cannot lose. We don't know how to win, therefore we cannot win. That's interesting, isn't it? But we do know how to play and have a good time and enjoy it. And strangely enough, in that type of game, there's no winner and no loser. Everyone just enjoys the game. When you have a race swimming across the lake, about 8 or 10 kids, and about 9 of them fall out, you know, because they didn't quite make it. Does that mean you're the winner because you got across the lake? No. You're only the winner if you neck and neck with somebody. If everybody drops off back there 2 miles and you're another mile ahead of them, there's no race. I mean, that's ludicrous. You're just swimming to swim. And I beat everybody. You did not. You beat yourself. You didn't beat yourself, but you were a winner because you swam the race, not because you were ahead of somebody else. In the marathon races, everybody's a winner. I was a winner coming in 69th, you know, coming in 110th. I was a winner. It's like Monica's husband. He ran in the race in New York as a marathon runner. And he came in at some crazy spot, you know, 99th or something like that. And he came in and he was in the final race with an old lady with her canes or wheelchair or something like that. What was it? With a cane, I think it was. And she had her cane and she was hobbling along. And he came in with her and he thought, I was in the race. I ran the marathon. And then when he tells the rest, he shouldn't tell the rest. That's not important. Did he make that old lady happy? You bet he did, because she knew he was in better shape than she was. And did he make the old lady make him happy? He sure did, because she laughed and giggled, and she was just having a ball. He couldn't help but laugh and giggle all the way into. And what a wonderful way to run a race. Now, you're running it not to win, because in any marathon, there will be these well-trained athletes who don't qualify, but they'll be running first. And they will win because they're well-trained and because they are professional at it. And then you take the ordinary marathon runners, the people who maybe have ran around the block once or twice, and then they go out for this long run, and they're out just for the fun of it. And they may stop and have a soda water along the way. And if that puts them back in the 50th place, no big deal, you know. And if they have to go to the bathroom, they find a bathroom, you know, looking here and there, and they go to the bathroom, and they don't rush. You know, when they're done, then they come out and continue their run. But they're having fun, which is what it's all about. Now, this is our relationship to God, our relationship to Absolute. It should be fun. It should be a matter of our joining in the game and playing it to the best of our ability, but not breaking a gut in the process, you know. If we bust a gut, what good is that? You know, then we're out of the race permanently. As they sew the gut back up and say, let it heal. But the point is, we do know absolute. We do know God. We do know this because that's who we are. Now, are we expressing the allness of God right now, or are we expressing a portion of what we know of God? We're expressing a portion. And the only reason we're expressing a portion is because we haven't claimed the allness. We didn't think we were worthy of claiming the allness. And the minute we realize that we're worthy of claiming the whole nine yards, then we do that. Once we realize that we are good people, and we are beautiful people, and regardless that somebody says, you know, you didn't run that marathon very intelligently, you know, carrying a flask in your back pocket, you know, with whiskey in it, that's not too cool, you know. Or steroids, you know, you take your steroid pill every 2 miles, you know, and you're really up there running and good. But this is how things like that go. It's silly. We want to just keep it plain and simple and beautiful. When your child asks you for the facts of life, you just tell them. Mm-hmm. You don't make a big fuss over it, and he will, or she will, or they will pass over these things without much thought until you come to what they're really interested in. And just tell it all, and don't make a big fuss over it. When you make a big fuss over it, then they make a big fuss over it too. Like the little kid that comes in telling dirty words, and his mother said, well, now, where did you learn that? You know, where did you learn those interesting words? Oh, yeah. Well, now, where are you going to use them, remember? Where are you going to use them? Oh, I don't know. Well, do you think they're good words to use? Do you think that we should use them in our family here? Oh, no. Oh, well, if you don't think we in our family should use them, do you think the kids should use them on the street? I really don't think so. Well, what are you going to do with them? I don't know. Well, here, let me give you the trash can. Now, we'll all throw them in there. I got a few bad words I want to throw in there, too. I have a word like I can't, and I don't know, and, you know, I'm tired, and I'm frustrated. I want to throw those in there, too. You can throw those old dirty words in there, too, if you want. It's up to you. You can throw them. You can keep them. And if you keep them, then you'll not be harmonious with your friends, because your friends will hear you saying that, oh, I can't let them come to my house. My mother would kill me if I went around with somebody who said bad words like that. And you see, as you say these things, as you gently say them to your child has a mature attitude about it. And he loves you because you don't pick on him. And he loves you because you respect his wisdom, which is obviously your wisdom, but because you respect his wisdom of making a decision to not do something that would be to his disadvantage. So this is what being God is all about. This is what being absolute is all about. This is what being who we are is all about. And it's kind of fun, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So, yes, the absolute is beyond the limits of human consideration, and it is therefore unknowable apparently. But is it beyond the limits of human consideration? Only if the human considers it beyond its limits. And you and I oftentimes consider things beyond our limits when we say, I can't. I don't know how. I'm not good enough. So let's change it and make those considerations within the limit of absolute. I know, I am, and life is wonderful. Have a lovely evening and think good thoughts and go to sleep dreaming the realization that you are the absolute right now. I love you. I love you. I love you.